Today's daf in Masechet Nida brought to you from outside the walls of Johannesburg is daf Dalit. And where exactly did we get up to? Yes, we got up to one line up from the bottom on daf Gimel on the Beit, which means that we're still really in the middle of the discussion of this machloket. We had two cases in the Gemara, if you'll recall, about a kupa. So that we were talking about a box, and that box was originally part of a conversation between Shammai v'Hillel, in which it seemed that everybody was agreed that if we had found the sherets on one side of a box after we had used the other side of the box for taharot, then even Shammai said, absolutely, I would agree that that is 100% going to be tummy, even the mafreya. We would not say we only consider it to be tummy at this point. So Hillel says, so I don't understand. Why is it that by a woman, which is essentially the equivalent of the kupah, why is it that there you say dayashata, and you don't want to be betamer lemafreya? And so it was there that Shammai said, look, there's a whole different issue, and that's because there's nothing that's going to hold in the dam. That was one of the indications that that was the problem in Shammai. But anyway, we certainly didn't have any argument about what the din would have been about a kupa. 100% the kupa, everybody agreed, was certainly tummy. Question is that then we found another case which sounds exactly the same, kupa, zavitzu, and yet somehow or other there we have a machloket between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan says the taharot or tmeot, which is fine, because everybody was agreed between Shammai and Hillel, but for some reason Chizkiah says not the taharot or rishonot or taharot. How in the world is he going to make that fit with the combined opinion of Shammai and Hillel that in the case of kupa, it's definitely tummy? So we had another number of answers. So we started yesterday by saying that maybe the case over here, even though it says kupa, is talking about really an inverted barrel. It's on its side. It doesn't have shulayim. So it doesn't have really the bottom that the other case of the kupa has. And the question over here is whether we're going to make the case of kupa similar to an equivalent case where you have water in a bucket, and you keep pouring water, keep drawing water, pouring it into a larger bucket. And over there, the question is, do we say that the edges of the bucket, when you pour the water out, might that be an indication that the sherets that you find in the bucket was here the whole time, in which case every single bucket of water that you had poured in was tummy because it came in contact with that sherets? Where do we say that it would certainly have been poured out l'chatchila? So on the surface, the cases are exactly the same. And the Gemara says that actually is the point. Because if we're talking about that it has ognim, which is the case, has a rim, but it doesn't have a bottom, then the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah is whether we have to be choshesh, that even though you turn it over, maybe you're not going to turn it over completely and it'll still get stuck, the sherets will get stuck in the corner, or that in order to get out all of your fruit, you would definitely turn it upside down, and therefore everything would have fallen out, and there's no way that the sherets would be mukav. Whereas by mayim, you just sort of give it a throw, and you let the water just run out, but you don't necessarily turn it upside down, and you don't really care, for that matter, if a little water is left inside, as opposed to when you've got a bunch of cherries inside, you turn it completely upside down. That's where we were up to yesterday. Today, the Gemara wants to introduce yet another possibility. V'ibayitema, so we're up to one line up from the bottom. V'ibayitema, another explanation of how Chizkiah could get away with apparently disagreeing with both Shammai and Hillel, is that the case of Shammai v'Hillel, that this tamei, that's talking about a kupa, she'ina beduka, where you didn't look at the time that you put the tarot inside of the kupa, you weren't careful to make sure that there was no sherets there. So therefore we assume that the kupa was tamei before as well. Whereas Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about a case of a kupa beduka. So since it was checked, Mar Savar HaBatka, so Chizkiah is basically saying, look, Once you establish there was no sheretz there, then you don't have to worry anymore. It is baduket. Whereas marasavar imurim siluk yado nafal. Even in this case, we could say that it's all very nice that you were baduket, but at one point or another the sheretz fell. Let's see if we close that. And therefore, how do you know that the sheretz didn't fall in the moment that you turned your head, you took your hand out of it? Just, you could just cover the sun part. It's right in my eyes. Huh? All right, I'll turn. I'll move over here. No, that part is not relevant anymore. Ask the Gemara, it doesn't make any sense to make this distinction. Because remember, what was the discussion about Shammai v'Hillel? They both recognized that there was a comparison of the case of the Kupa to the case of the woman, right? Hillel was saying, listen, this is the same case. Why over here are you ready to say that retroactively will be Matami, the Tyrus? And why is it by the woman? You want to say that Dayashata, we don't Matami or retroactively. So obviously, it has to be physically similar to the case of the Isha. And the point of the Isha was that she had made a Bedika. So she had established that she was Tyrus. What are you telling me? That Hillel was going to ask Shammai, well, what about a case where you have a Kupa that you never checked? How come over there you're willing to say that? Well, obviously, because you never checked it. So it's absurd to say that we're talking about a Kupa Sheina Beduk. It makes no sense. Answers the Gemara, not true. It still makes sense, because that's exactly the point that Hillel is making. He's saying, for all intents and purposes, a woman where her bleeding is part of her own physiology is not something that's coming from outside. So what are you going to say? I was Bodiker. What does that mean, you were Bodiker? She is basically going to be bleeding at one point or another. So since Shkicha Badamim, that would be the equivalent of Eina Beduka. And Mamela, Bosham and Hillel agree that actually, in principle, it really would be the same. We just need to be machalik about the question of whether Yesh La Shulayim and it would have exited right away, or the other issue is a period of a rivi. And yet, there's yet another svara for the difference between the cases. V'boit ema, ki modu Shammai v'Hillel. The case that Shammai v'Hillel both take for granted that we would be matami tiris l'mafreya is talking about a kupa she'ina mechusa. There's no cover on it, and therefore a sheretz could fall in it at any time. Ki pligi chizkia v'Rebbe Yochanan b'kupa mechusa. We're talking about over here where you have a cover on the kupa. Ask the Gemara, a cover on the kupah? If you have a cover on the kupah, how the heck could the sheretz possibly have fallen in later? So then, if it's a kupah mechusa, heki nafa. Ah, the point is that you don't cover this box, seal it up, and then when you're ready to throw out the box, you open it up. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a box that opens and closes with a kisui. So now, normally, you'd open it up for a minute, put in your stuff, and then you'd close it. Now, while it's open, the svara is that since you're being osik at that moment with taharot, you're going to be careful that nothing falls in at that moment. And therefore, Chizkiah says you don't have to worry about it. And Rabbi Yochanan is coming along and he's saying, afal pi kein. Maybe the moment that you opened it up, you didn't realize that something fell in from the side. And the moment that you're yadayim Rabbi Sulakot, at that moment it became tamei. And therefore, we're talking about kegon shetashmisha al yedei kisui. You use it by opening it up. But then again, it's not similar physically to the case of the woman. Remember that Hillel was bringing a raya to Shammai, arguing on him in the Mishnah's case of an isha that's dayashata. If we're talking about a kupa that's bechusa, vadumya diisha katani. If we're talking about over here the woman, you're talking about. The if you're saying that the case of the kupa mechusa is going to be different than the case of the Shammai v'Hillel, then that means they're talking about a kupa she'ena mechusa. But this woman is obviously mechusa in terms of, this is a little bit strange. And there's a machlokas Rashi tells us around this strangeness. The Gemara is assuming that Anisha is mechusa. And answers, how could you call her mechusa if there's shkichi badamim? So that's the equivalent of ena mechusa. So the Rashi says, why do we consider this woman to be mechusa? I mean, it seems rather obvious that the whole point of an isha is that there's constantly dam that's coming in. You can't seal her off from dam, so what does that mean that the isha is mechusa? So Rashi says, look, because no blood came from anywhere else. Tosfos says, what kind of svara is that? We need no blood came from anywhere else. We're not interested in anywhere else. We're interested in whether there's dam nidot over here. So in what case, I mean, what are you telling me, that it's physically similar to the case of a kupa? Nothing can fall in. I mean, that it's irrelevant to the halacha. Why would we have compared it to a case of mechusa? Therefore, Tosfos says that if the dam would have begun to flow, that creates the hargasha that we'll see later of the p'tichat hamikor. In other words, basically, the woman is sealed from her own dam. The moment that there's bleeding, there's a sense of opening. And that opening she would have felt. So we're taking into consideration the Isha Margisha Ba'atzma as part of the conversation of Shammai Vehilo. So unless she didn't, if she didn't feel anything, then we have to assume she's Mechusa. So it should be the same case as the case of Kupa. And therefore, Hillel has Shammai, so how come over here you're willing to say that it's Dayashata and not by Kupa? And therefore, he answers that since Yesh La Shulayim, there's a difference. Okay. So therefore we would say that the Yisha would be considered to be Shchicha Badanim, and it's Eina Mechusa as far as the physical comparison. Or there's yet another possibility. Now notice that the word that we used was, you used Taharot in one corner and the Sheretz was found in another corner. Now we assume that that meant in another corner of the box. We mistake the Gemara to think now to say that we don't mean in another corner of the box, we mean in another corner of the house. So it's talking about over here, Kimodo Shamavihil, it's definitely Tamei Lamafreya, that's Bezavit Kupa. That's where it was found in another corner of the box. But Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about in another corner of the house. What are you talking about, another corner of the house? It says in a box, and you were using the box, and you found it in one corner, and you found it in another corner. How could you possibly say that it means a corner of the house? Vokupa ka'oma. No. Talking about a very subtle issue over here. Rachikama. The kupa that I was mishtamish b'taharot in this corner of the house was then moved, and I now found the sheretz in another corner of the house where the kupa had been moved to. Of course, it's also on the other side of the kupa, because otherwise I should have seen it. The time that I used, everybody would be mine, I would have seen it. However, the machloket over here between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan is a whole different issue. Shammai and Hillel are talking about that the only, remember we have two questions. Does a chazaka extend in time? We know that it extends toward the future. The question is, does it define the past? That's really what we're asking over here. Can we be metame lemafreya based on a current status? Generally, because of the direction of time, we assume that we're only going to go forward with our chazaka. So the Chiddush over here is, no, that's not true. There's clearly a Chumrah to say if something is found to be in a particular status now, we extend that status until it's definitely known, otherwise in the past as well. What about space? Does the same idea apply to space? You have a Chazaka that applied in a certain space. Is that the same issue in a different space? Now that's a whole other question. We'll talk about it in a moment. So therefore, what's our question over here? What?
How many corners are we dealing with that? One barrel to one corner, and the sheretz is in the same corner? With the
no, the sheretz is in another corner, but that's a logistical issue. That's not a chazaka issue. But the chazaka part, it's a logistical issue, because had it been in the same place, and you're putting the tarot there, you definitely would have seen it. That's the point. So therefore, we talk about bezavit acheret in order to avoid that. So I'm saying that's logistical. But in terms of the chazaka, we know there's a sheretz in this kupa. But this kupa is defined by its current placement in space, not in its own locale. It has to exist somewhere. The question that is raised about this kupa with such and such spatial coordinates. The kupa that was on the other side never had a question. And therefore that change now means, okay, we're raising the issue now about here. So do we look at local space, meaning the inside of the kupa, or do we look at the space about where the kupa is? That's a machloket. Are we machzikin tuma mi makom la makom or not? And that's a machloket. Chizkiya sava lo machzikin tuma mi makom la makom. A question that is raised in location A doesn't affect anything in location B. Because in location B, I should have reversed it. Location, let's call the first location A. So the question was raised to location B. Why should I apply my current status here as raised to something in a different place? You're saying, well, what do you mean something in a different place? But it's the same thing. Yes, but it's not the same question. That was a question about what the din is over here. And we say this. We use this in an idiom. Right? We say, well, over here, the din. What do you mean over here? Because there is a definition of a there is. That's why we use that word there, right? And even the Rambam inserts that word there, even into Hebrew, as we pointed out. So the idea of a mokum is, in fact, very definitive. And Rabbi Yochanan Savar, we are machzik, and therefore it's tameh. Ask the Gemara, but how can anybody say that a chazaka applies to a different space than where the question was raised? Do we not have a actual mission that says like this? Vatanan. Nagabe echad balayla. A guy is in a very dark room. It's the middle of the war. They're hiding out. They're underneath a barn. He touches somebody, but has no idea whether he's touching a live person or a body. So he's nagabe echad balayla ve'in yodea im chai imate. He gets up tomorrow morning and he finds that this guy is dead. Rabbi Meir mitaher ve'chachamim mitamim. So Rabbi Meir says it's not a problem. And he's tohar, whereas the chachamim say, "No, you're tameh because kol hatmeot kishaat mitziatan. All things go according to the time at which they are found, and therefore, if they are found currently to be metameh, and this is now a dead body, so why say that it would be any different the night before? You have to assume it was a dead body the night before as well. Now, this raises, of course, questions about how this relates to the Shammai Vehillel question. In other words, we seem to be retroactively approaching it. And there's a lot of different explanations as to why it's not the same. Over here, we seem to be talking about real Tumah D'Oraita. Even Hillel, who was talking about Mitamei L'Mafreya by the woman, is talking about Adin D'Rabbanan, which is Tolin V'lo Sorf, and applies to Truma V'Kutchim. It's not Me'ikar Hadin. It's not going to be Mitamei in terms of her husband. So how come this was never raised before? So there's many approaches in the Rishonim as to why this case is innately different than the case of Shammai Vehillel. One of which is that we never particularly established this person as being alive. I mean, obviously a person is alive at one time, but it's not as if we ever related to this body as being alive, because, I don't know, I came in, I touched something. Nobody knew who's there. A bunch of people ran in, and people were being shot all over. It's the middle of a battle. So, I mean, I never established really a chazaka like I have over here. That's a simple difference between them. But even the explanation, in a sense, is unimportant to us, because all we're looking for is a diak in the language of this Mishnah with an associated ma'amar in a braita. The Tani Allah, the braita, says on this Mishnah that when the Chachonim say kolate me'ot kisha'at mitziyatan, they meant kisha'at mitziyatan uve makom mitziyatan. Aha. So then that means that everything is defined by its current time and its current place. In which case, if the Chachamim are saying kisha'at mitziyatan, so then why would we possibly say here, I mean, makom mitziyatan, what would that mean? It would mean that if the body was found elsewhere, then I would not be Matami, the guy who touched the body in place A, just because I find a dead body in place B. Now, one could argue, well, that would be rather difficult for the body to get from place A to place B if that body was dead, right? And maybe that's the whole point that we're making. I mean, so first of all, it's clear from the language that that's not the issue. In other words, the bright is not saying something that's trivial. Oh, by the way, if the guy walked around, he's alive. It's talking about a principle. In order to make the principle work, so the Tosfos HaRosh is mefarish. Obviously, it means that a bunch of people came in and dragged everything to a different place. And we know that anything that was in that first place was dragged over here to a pile of bodies. Fine. But we still don't know what the status was at the time that I touched him there. And what it's saying over here is that the fact that I know now currently that that body that had been in place A is currently dead has no impact on the status of my touching it in a different place. So even though it's kisha'at mitziyatan, but since at this time it's not in the Makom Mitziyatam, it doesn't apply to me. So how in the world is Rabbi Yochanan saying that we don't care if a question is raised in a different space, it would still apply to another space? This is a new question. Body and location B, Tameh. Does that tell us same body and location A, Tameh? No. So why does Rabbi Yochanan say yes? That's what we're asking on him from this Mishnah Brayta combination. V'chitim, now maybe you'll say, now hold on a minute. Remember that all along our discussion has been about a Tumah Derabbanan, which is Tolei. It means a Suffolk. We're not going to be Soreif, we'll just be Tolei. And we wouldn't burn Truma of a Kachim based on this. And maybe the point over here is that, yes, we're saying Kishat Mitziyatan, Makom Mitziyatan, that's vis-a-vis real Tumah Derayta. Okay, fine. I never suggested that we would apply a problem in location A, B to location A in a Diorite. All we're talking about is Lisroth. But maybe Litlot Talinan. Maybe there is a Safek. And we're talking, me and Chizkia, says Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about a Derabbanan. What do you bring me a raya that in terms of the Diorite we won't burn Truma V'Kachim? That's not true. Umitalina, let me prove to you that we will not even be tole. Look at this mission of Otan. You find a machat. So you have a needle that was known to be tame. It is found now completely rusted or broken. Obviously, once a kli is broken or ruined, it loses its tuma. It's no longer a kli. Something that's not a kli cannot, by definition, be tummy. All right. It's sitting on top of a pile of taharot. So what I found was a rotted out needle on a bunch of taharot. The din over there is, it's completely tahar. When you say the word tahar, you don't mean talina. You mean tahar. This is the mirror image of the Mishnah we quoted a minute ago. And why is this? Shekol hatmeyot kisha'at mitziyatan. You always look at its status at the time. Okay. When those words applied over here in the mirror image of the other Mishnah to the Tahira, it says Tahar. You can't say that the word Tahar means, not really, it's semi-Tahar. We never would say that. So by the same token, its mirror image, Shekol hatmeyot kisha'at mitziyatan, means completely. If we're saying that it's no problem, we mean completely no problem. Not talinan. So therefore, we do have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. Vamai. Lema, haimi, kora, machat, ma'ayatahi, v'hashtuhu de'ela, chaluda. According to what you are saying, Rabbi Yochanan, why don't we say, look, we know for a fact that there was, once upon a time, a machat, and it's only now rotted out. So maybe last night, when it fell on the tarot, it was a perfectly usable machat, and overnight it got rusty. So now I'm finding it rusty. Why should I assume that it's completely tar, according to you? The ode, there's another case exactly like this, which confirms this question, and that is Matzah Sheret Saruf. It says, if you find a burnt sheret, which is no longer a sheret to be matame, and it's on top of a pile of zeitim, or you have a matlita mehumam, you have a piece of material that had been used by a zog, so it was originally tame, capable of being matame, but it's now decayed, it's a rotted out cloth, it's just falls apart. That is not considered to be a beket to be mekabel tuma, or to be able to hold its tuma. So that is tahor, and all of the olives are tahor. Why? Shekol hatmeyot kisha'at mitziyatan. So you see clearly that there is no tolin at all. Period. Now, I know what you're going to try to tell me. You're going to try to tell me, v'chitema, you're going to try to tell me that, yes, kisha'at mitziyatan, you're right. We find the word, remember, we have two issues here with coordinates. We have spatial coordinates and we have temporal coordinates. What we've been talking about over here is spatial coordinates, right? Now, really, you're bringing me a raya from the Mishnah, kisha'at mitziyatan, temporal coordinates. Maybe there's a difference. All you've proven to me is that when it comes to question of time, the current time is definitive. That's all you've said. You've proven to me that the current time is definitive, whether it's Lakula or Lachumra. It's completely Tar. Or completely Tar. That's what you're telling me. Okay, but you didn't prove to me what the din would be about space. And that's the issue that we're arguing here. So maybe the din is that, yes, time, kisha'at metziatan, the time that I find it, yes, I agree with you, it's bein lakula, bein lachumra. But that's bimakom metziatan. But what about if we change the spatial coordinates? It's shalom b'makom metziatan. Maybe over there, at least, I can get away with saying that it's possible. Yes, you're right, it's not tamei, but at least it's tolin. So, avo shalom b'makom metziatan, maybe mistraf lo sarfinan, as you said, but maybe mitla talinan. And indeed, v'atanya, I mean, it does say in the bright and the tosefta, if you find a kikar agabe hadaf, you have a piece of bread that is on top of a shelf. Beneath the shelf is a madaf tameh. Now, madaf means a lower level of tumah. At this point, the Gemara believes what we're talking about is, let's say, something carried by a zav, but not sat on by a zav. So it's capable of being matami, this kikar. And it's munach tachtav, and it's on the ground. And I find the kikar, when I walk into the room, I find the kikar on the floor. And there's no way, afal pi she'im nafla, there's no way that if it fell, that it would possibly have been able to avoid contact with that beged. If it fell off of the shelf and rolled, it would have had to first touch the beged and then roll off. Nonetheless, the din is tahar. Even though there's no way to avoid touching, how is that possible? It's possible because Shani Omer Adam Tor Nichnas L'Sham Unetala. Somebody walked into the room, noticed that this, we're going to see that the shelf is on an angle, wanted to avoid the kikar falling, picked it up and set it down so it would not fall on the madaf. Unless you know for a fact, Achiomar Barili Shiloni Khazadamcham. If you know for a fact, I was standing at all time, nobody walked in there. And Rabbi Lazar explained that what we're talking about, Lo Nitzcha Ela Lamakom Midron. It's talking about where the daf itself was at an angle, and therefore it could easily have rolled off. On the other hand, somebody could have removed it. And what we're saying is, look, how did you find it? You found it in this location. It's completely tahar. Tahar, not talina. A different location. Completely tahar. Well, yeah, but why does that prove anything about my case? I mean, you explained why. You said, so how would that possibly apply in the kupa? What are you going to say about the kupa? Somebody put a sheretz there? Says, well, why not? Why can't you say a birdie flew over and dropped a sheretz there? But why is that any different than a human came in, moved this, and put it in a place where it wouldn't become tameh? Could have said the same thing about the case of the kupa. You are claiming, Rabbi Yochanan, well, I mean, look, you know, I mean, if the sheretz is there, then why should we consider the difference in place? What do you mean, why? Because the difference in place tells us that there's an explanation for why I shouldn't worry about it. A birdie came and dropped it in on the other side. Nothing to do with the iris that were in there. So, Hachanami, why can't we say the same thing, Rabbi Yochanan? Let's say an orev al-tavishada. No, says Rabbi Yochanan, you're missing the point. The point over here is not that I have another explanation. The point is that a human's interference is a conscious event, not a random event. So if I know that I had a piece of bread that could have rolled off onto a madaf, an intelligent human who walks into the room, who wants to avoid the breads falling on the madaf, lifts it off of the daf and puts it onto the ground far away. That is a very reasonable thing. It's not a random event. To say a birdie just happened to fly over and drop it, that's a random event. I'm not accessing random events as an explanation. What's the comparison? So answers the Gemara, Adam de Bekavana, a human who has an intent to do what he's doing, there we say, yes, She'ani Omer, there Amrinan, there we say, She'ani Omer. It's a logical thing. We're just not looking for just stam things be'alma. What would you say? You know, maybe a tornado passed by and lifted it off of it. Come on, man. So, Orev de Shalom Bekavana, lo Amrinan. But I have another question, just an aside. Forget about Rabbi Yochanan and everything. I have a question, says the Gemara. Isn't this Kikar Safik Tuma Brushot Hayachid? Nobody was there. You're saying maybe somebody had walked in. Okay, but we're certainly not talking about a place where there are three people present. That defines the Rishut Hayachid. I thought that we learned out of Sota that the din is when we have a Safik Tuma Brushot Hayachid, same thing with the Sota, she could say, you know, I like talking to the guy. Why do you think I was sleeping with the guy? We don't accept that. The Torah answers her, and it says that she's nitma'a. What do you mean she's nitma'a? We don't know if she was nitma'a. Lo, vehi nitma'a. And it creates an iser la for her husband to relate to her after that, right? So that means that a safek tuma b'rishut hayachid should follow the rule of kol safek b'rishut hayachid, sveika tame. Why is it a tame? Oh, that's because it's another issue. Remember that it has to be similar to the case of the sota. If the case of the sota is we can ask the sota, did you or did you not sleep with this guy? So therefore, we cannot extend the din of safek tuma b'rishut hayachid to something which is a passive, not an active player in its own history. We can't ask it anything. So over here it's a davar she'in bo da'at lishael. V'chol davar she'in bo da'at lishael, if it cannot respond to a question, then this rule doesn't apply. And there, bein b'rishut ha'yachid, bein b'rishut ha'rabim, the din would be that sveiko tahor. Or, you know what? There may be another issue. V'bayit ema, ha'cha b'tumah d'rabanan. Maybe the whole question over here is talking about, when we talked about the madaf, that's not a real suffix at all. A madaf is referring to a type of tumah which is a creation of the Rabbanan, not Elyono Shel Zav that we sometimes refer to, but rather a Mala Bakodesh. It's one of those things which is completely tahor, and yet we say, let's treat it as if it's tameh. So you have, perhaps, a beged of a porush, who's very careful not to be metameh anything, goes to the mikveh every morning, but if he touches truma, the truma's tameh. His beged is metameh the truma. Why is that? It's a mala. You can have a kohen who's been eating truma for the whole year, he comes to the Beit HaMikdash, wasn't re-metire himself for purposes of kodesh, and all of a sudden his clothes are metameh hekdash. Why is that? A mala. So we create more and more chumrah in how we define the level of shmirah for different things. In that kind of thing, we're not going to apply the halacha of safek tuma b'rishut hayachid. I mean, it's irrelevant. This is a creation out of old cloth. It doesn't fit in the whole idea of the limud from Seita. So we're talking about a tuma d'rabban. And by the way, it makes so much sense to say that. Because why use the word madaf? It's a funny word. So a madaf, if I could trace it to the Torah, I know where that word comes from. That word comes from the pasuk kol ale nidaf. And the whole point of that pasuk is you're going to run from the sound of a little falling leaf, convinced that it's the enemy sneaking up on you. But that's the whole point of the pasuk. You're going to be so terrorized. You're going to be in such constant tension that the slightest thing is going to set you off. So then the word madaf means the slightest thing. The slightest thing would be a tumah d'rabbanan, in which is a mala b'alma. There's not even a chashash of tumah. Over there it's not a real suffix tumah. Over there it's a mala b'kodesh or a mala b'trumah. It's actually a little bit of a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here about which level of mala we're talking about. Big day ame ha'aretz that are tamei l'prushim, or big day prushim that are tamei l'trumah. And anyway, it's not our place to talk about it. And I'm just notifying you that I made it all one thing. It isn't really all one thing, but we'll worry about that when we get to Chagiga and Danny wakes up, and then everything will be great. It's a dangerous seat, Richie seat. Okay, continues the Mishnah. The Chachamim say, lo k'divrei zeh, v'lo k'divrei zeh. And let's take a look at the Bright. The Bright expands the words of the Mishnah a bit. The Chachamim omrim, lo k'divrei zeh, v'lo k'divrei zeh. Meaning, Not like Shammai. I mean, Shammai lo asa siyag b'dvarav. He did not make any type of fence to prevent people from falling into tuma. He should have made something, and not like Hillel either. Hillel. I mean, that's exaggerated. I mean, what are you talking about? The last time she made a bedikah was 3 months ago. Everything for the past 3 months is going to be tameh? That's Ifriz Amidotav. Come on, you're going too far. Let's make it clean and easy. Remember that beautiful lesson, al yad, in English, we would say the extent of. When we spread our hands, we say, it's like this. That's a yad. It limits the extent of our application of the din of pekida l'pekida, and vice versa. Or we had Rashi's lesson in yad, meaning the power of, the chashash of, the strength of this, of the issue. So what do I mean when I say that? So I say mima etet. The mi'et leit is mima etet ayad mipkida lepkida keitza. Show me what you mean. Well, let's say bat katzma bechad b'shabbat. Okay, she did a bedika on Sunday, and she found out she was tahora. She did not do a bedika on Monday and Tuesday. V'yashrat sheni v'shlishi. V'lo bat katzma. On Wednesday, she does a bedika. U'matzat t'meya. Ein omrim t'tamei mipkida lepkida. We don't say from Sunday on she should be t'meya. She's only a tamei a maximum 24 hours. And when you say mipkida lepkida memayet tayad meit leit, what do you mean? Ketzat? Well, let's say she was bodek herself at 8 o'clock in the morning, umatzat tahara. And then she waits for the second hour of the day and the third of the day without doing a bedika. And then at 11 o'clock she does a bedika, she finds out she's tamei. Well, we don't say go all the way back for 24 hours. We say she's tamei only until the 8 o'clock in the morning bedika. Says the Gemara, well, that's trivial. Obviously, if she was butting herself, how in the world could she possibly be metame from 8 o'clock before 8 o'clock? That's pshita. Given the butkatzma, b'shah rishona matzah tohara, why in the world would we be metame her if she knows that she's tohara? I mean, of course, me'et le'et, we're going to be metame her? Well, you're right. This is just to keep things pretty. In other words, I did a ton of me, 8 late, me, 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 because we gave the illustration of the way that the 24 hour, which seems rather arbitrary, and that's not trivial. We're going to have to figure out where that comes from. But since we said it that way, it's a ton of nami, the part that is trivial, namely, that pekida lepekida obviously is going to be my etet ayad, me, 8 late. Oh, my Rabbah, what in the world is the logic of this 24-hour jazz? Well, the logic is that the woman would have felt if she's tamei. Normally, what? What does that mean? In kente daya sha'ata, so then she shouldn't be tamei at all. And of course, Rabbah wasn't saying anything intelligent. Abaye was a kid. He said this to see whether Abaye was on the ball and was ready to argue. And he only said it like l'chidudi l'Abaye v'deboy. He just said that. Obviously, it doesn't make any sense. It was never meant to be taken seriously. Okay, but now that you raise the question, what is the serious issue? My time, my other Rabbanan. The fact is that we have missed the point completely. It's not as if we take some arbitrary value and decide, okay, you know, you don't want to go too far. On the other hand, you have to have some type of siyag. Obviously, it has to be linked to something realistic. And I'll tell you what that linkage is. It's beautiful. It goes like this. Rav Yonah Meshmuel. Rav Yonah Meshmuel says, look, we know that it says in the Mishnah, Chachamim tiknu lem levnot Yisrael, shu botkot atzmam shacharit va'arvit. Any woman that is going to be dealing with taharot, and this has nothing to do with husbands or anything. It's again, remember, we're dealing here, the whole first part here is a discussion of nidot as one of the mitamim. Just like sheretz, just like shechaz zera, just like mace, nida. We're not interested now in the other issues of nida that have to do with her ability to sleep with her husband. That is not a din in tuma, obviously. So over here, the takana was, if Bnot Yisrael are big osek in taharot, then what they have to do is check yourself every morning, check yourself every evening. We want you to check yourself in the morning to make sure that all of the things that you worked on in the kitchen during the night to prepare for Shabbos, that everything is tahor. So therefore, we're going to make certain that's la'akshar tarot shel halayla. And we want you to check yourself at night because you've come into contact with a lot of things. We don't want you to go on and then have these questions arise. What was my status at that time? So therefore, we are mitakein this idea. We want you to take responsibility to know that you are tahora. Because of this, a woman who did not check herself. Obviously, if we're talking about the pekida, the pekida is outside of the 24 hours. We're saying the 24 hours is going to now limit the previous pekida, correct? That's the point. Because since she didn't do what she had to, how is it that we went 24 hours? She must have missed that bedika, because every 12 hours you make a bedika. So since she missed that bedika, we're going to fine her to make sure that she doesn't do this. We told you to check. You didn't check? Now we're going to call everything that you touched to ma'am, which completely changes the entire issue. It turns out that what we've been doing is looking for a mechanism to explain how we created this knas. That's the point. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying, look, the question as to whether it's shayach b'chlal that there should be a tuma, that's a machlok b'shamay v'hillel. In reality, we do have a mechanism. Obviously, it's only drabbanan. Obviously, it's only going to apply to truma v'kachim. But where would we come up with an arbitrary din in 24 hours? Very simple. We made a takana to not have to worry about these kind of shaylas, to make sure that the woman never gets into this pickle. She put herself into this pickle. If she put herself into this pickle, then she's going to lose that 12-hour period that she should have checked. That's the point. And therefore, hoyav lo batka, hifsida ona, she loses her 12 hours. What do you mean her 12 hours? You said 24 hours. No, she loses an extra 12 hours. In other words, that missed bedika. Of course, the original bedika, that's the point of the bedika. If you find yourself tmeya, then we're going to consider the 12-hour period to the previous bedika to be tmeya. But the 24 hours is basically a fine. You miss the bedika, you're going to lose that extra ona as well. I don't get it. I mean, why are you saying that it's an extra? You're making it seem like it's related to the takana. But if it's related to the takana, how do you come up with 24 hours? You have to come up with the idea of this ona plus the one that was immediately prior. Now, sometimes that's 24 hours if she waits till the very end of the ona, right? But sometimes that's only 13 hours. She didn't get around to doing her bedika right away. Okay, fine. Then up until the previous point of bedika, that should have been the morning. Oh, naughty, naughty, you didn't do it in the morning. Okay, you could also lose the night. But if you say 24 hours, you're talking about three on out. The 2 hours that she missed now in the morning, the 12 hours of the night before, and now we're going into the previous on out as well. Right? Those extra hours to equal to 24, depending on what time she checked during the day. So it doesn't really match. If you're telling me this is a function of that takana has 2 points in the day, morning, evening. So that isn't 24 hours. It should just be one extra or not. So Hazimin asks Rav Papa, if that's explanation, how do you explain the fact that sometimes mashkachat la shalosh onot, you may get into three separate sections of 12 hours if you're counting 24? Well, says the Gemara, look, you know what? The Chachamim just gave a shiur. It's very difficult to start saying, well, you know, it depends exactly what time you did the bedikah and so on. So therefore, what we say is, you know what? It's a 24-hour issue. But the makar of the question is that initially we split every 24 hours into two 12-hour periods. You went ahead and missed your time, okay? We're not going to start playing games now and say, well, it's only this much and plus one additional ona. It's one shear. Or there's a simple explanation. Iboit ema, shelo yechote niskar. You know, you're telling me, well, because I was more chote and I waited until the evening, so then I only lose less time, you know? But so the longer I wait, the less I have to worry about getting into the previous zone. No, that we're not going to do for you. So it's a one time. You're not going to gain anything by being more of a bad girl. So you, if you're bodeg now or you're bodeg later, it's going to be the same 24 hours. My benayu, what would the difference be between these two answers? The difference would be in the case where it wasn't her fault. Something had happened to her, and she was eaten nitzavalo batka. It was a complete onus, so she couldn't do her bedikah in the morning, and therefore 2 hours later she does. So obviously, you can't say chotei niskar in this case. She wasn't chotat. So therefore, we're not going to give her that 24-hour knas. If you're saying hishbu bidotehem, it's always 24 hours. It's nothing to do with the particular case and what it was that she had done. Continues the Mishnah. Kol isha sheyesh la veset. Now, you're saying over here in the Mishnah, a woman who has a period is considered not to be in a position of worrying about bleeding at any time. So it sounds like. If it's the time of her period, fine. But we're not going to be chayish that she had bled previously. But isn't that a machloket later? Because that would mean that our Mishnah is only going on Liber Rabbi Dosa, and not on Liber the Rabbonah. To Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, as we spoke about earlier, the next Mishnah begins with Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that there are four women, and only four, that we would say Dayan Shatan. And that's how we explained Shammai's use of the word kol. No, it's not four, it's all. What are the four? That was the betula, a woman who's never yet had her menses, a mu'uberet, she's pregnant and therefore doesn't usually bleed, menika, she's nursing the first 24 months, and she's postmenopausal. Those are four women. Rabbi Dosa Amar, well, you're missing the most important one. Kol isha sheyesh la veset, daya sha'ata. If a woman has a set period, so then that's the same thing as saying that she bleeds only at the time of her period. So now you're saying that the Mishnah Stam is going on Libet Rabbi Dosa. That's odd. No. It could be going on Libet Rabbanan also. But Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan leid Rabbi Dosa lo shelo b'sha'at v'sta. Avu b'sha'at v'sta module. Well, hold on a second. If we understand that the statement of the Mishnah is that a woman who had a period, which was that she's supposed to see at 8 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, and we find at 8 o'clock in the morning she finds that she has seen Dam, and all the Mishnah is saying is, so don't be concerned that it was before, because this is where she's supposed to be seeing Dam. That's a very reasonable statement according to anybody. Now maybe everybody agrees to that. What Rabbi Dosa was saying is that, no, if she has a period, then we will never assume that bleeding occurred earlier. She's always as if she is pregnant. During the time that's not her period, it's like she's pregnant. It's like she's postmenopausal. She's got no chashash of blood. And anything that you find is, wow, that's amazing. Okay, that just happened. That would be what it means. So where did the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Dosa? Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan leid Rabbi Dosa l'shelo b'sha'at v'sta. Avu b'sha'at v'sta, if there was a re'iyah at the time of the veset. So then, of course, they agree that I'm not going to be chayshish that she was raya shelo b'sha'at v'sta. I'm only arguing, look, if the bottom line is, right now is not the shat v'sta, so if you're telling me she's bleeding out of her normal period, how do I know she didn't bleed before out of her normal period? But if she's bleeding now when she expected to be bleeding, why would I think that anything had happened before? Oh, so in other words, what you're saying is, our Mishnah is talking about Peshat Vesta, and we'll be going according to everybody. But what you're saying is that according to Rabbi Dosa himself, then afilo shalo Peshat Vesta, Omar, right? Rabbi Dosa himself would have said, no, look, she's like she's pregnant. And even though I know that she bled now at the wrong time, I'm going to have to assume that just happened. That's what you're saying. Dayan Shaitan, as if she's pregnant, correct? Then I got a problem for you. So then who is the author of this following braita? Isha sheyesh la veset, if a woman has a normal period, then her ketem that she sees on her beged, if she finds a stain of blood, is tomei lemafreya. Why is it tomei lemafreya? Because had she seen blood that was not at the time of her period, it would have been Tamei Lama Freya. So she'im tireh shelo b'shat v'sta would have been metamei mi'et li'et. Oh, so now you're saying that can only be the Rabbana. Just saying, according to Rabbi Dosa, there shouldn't be any issue of tamim, because she wouldn't be Tamei Lama Freya. If she has a veset, no matter when she sees Dam, even if it wasn't b'shat v'sta, we'll always assume that it was at the latest possible moment. So that's going, and that means only a libet Rabbana and not a libet Rabbi Dosa? That's like, wow. No, well, you know what? Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe that is going like Rabbi Dosa, and maybe we had it all wrong. Maybe the point is that Rabbi Dosa was only willing to say that a woman is dayashata if she bleeds at her period. And we're not going to be chayish for anything before the period, what we said before the Rabbanan said. Maybe that's actually what Rabbi Dosa said. And the Rabbanan argue even on that. And that's even though she was meant to see blood now, was expecting it, Nonetheless, we still have to be metamer lemafreim late. So maybe this is the way to read it. But if anyway we know for a fact that she bled shalobishat vista, maybe he'd be murdered to rabbanon. And he have to be metame meit late, and we don't see dayashata. And the Mishnah would be talking about that it's bishat vista. And you're right; it can't be the rabbanon when it says kol isha sheshal vista dayashata. It's going a little bit of Rabbi Doisa, and it means that she bled exactly when she was expecting to. And therefore, I'll leave it to Rabbi Doisa. You don't have to be cheshish to go back and say she's tamei. The brighter would be going to everybody. Ketam's always tamei because had she seen shelo b'shat vesta, even Rabbi Doisa's mode. Why are you doing that? I mean, you're making the Mishnah come out only on Rabbi. The first way you had it made a lot more sense. The Mishnah is going according to everybody, and the brighter wasn't going only Rabbi Doisa. Now you're making it. The Mishnah is going only on Rabbi Doisa. Why would you do that? The lukma yipcha, do it the other way. Because if you do it the other way, basically you're being meikel. Because you're saying even the rabbanan would hold that anisha is dayashaita if she was roya b'shat vesta, right? That's a kula. So if you have a question, if since ika lukma lakula v'lachumra, lachumra mukmina. Since the whole point over here is that we are trying to avoid this problem, we made a takana, therefore we made the takana that, and we're assuming that therefore was a chumra, that if she would be roya shalobashat vesta, she would be metame indeed, me'et la'et.